Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here.
It's
been many, many years since I have preached with a translator.
So you're
going to have to bear with me. There is no clock. That means I can stop whenever I want. We're going to talk about elders and deacons, and I want to just introduce the subject this morning. All this week, we're going to be discussing elders. And we have eight lessons. My father, I forget who you call him, grandfather. Okay, Mkulu.
Mkulu.
He says, I'm amazed that you can have eight lessons on elders. But it's a very important subject. I am not a preacher. But I am an elder. And elders have to be able to teach. And so that's basically what I'm going to do, is not preach, I'm going to teach.
Okay.
Elders and deacons are a very misunderstood subject. Especially in the denominational world. But also in the Lord's church. In the denominational world, they've warped the office to mean something totally different. They've introduced ideas that are not from God. In Isaiah, the 55th chapter in verse 8, it says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. So God's examples and laws are set aside for just one generation. And those warped examples and laws and traditions become the way of life. And they are accepted as if they came from God. We see bishops. Archbishops.
No, Archbishop.
And finally, the Pope. So how did these things come about? They slowly developed. Each generation creating traditions that are wrong. Now we have presidents of a church, deacons that are running a church, committees. A board of directors that have oversight of hundreds or even thousands of churches. We have no authority for that in the church, in the Bible. In the Lord's body, I think we have also some misunderstandings. And it comes from also twisting God's word. But basically because of some things that have happened in the church. We find that the appointment of unqualified men with good business leadership but without the spiritual lives or the spiritual thinking that they need. We also find that people have selected men that are lazy. People that are not committed to the work. And after having those examples for just one generation, people think that's the way an elder should be. And so we have unscriptural ideas that are getting in our minds, and we think, well, that's the way the church ought to
be.
What I want to do is take a journey through the Bible or through the New Testament and see how God describes elders. In Acts, the 11th chapter and verse 29, he says, "So the disciples determined everyone according to his ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul." This is the very first mention of elders in the scriptures. And we find that the elders were responsible for the money that was sent to a congregation to get it to those that needed it. Next, we see in chapter 14 the next mention of elders. We say that Paul and Barnabas appointed elders in every church. As they went back to the churches they had begun earlier in their first preaching trip, this would have been in Galatia, which is now a part of Turkey.
And
in Acts 14:21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when we had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed.
If
you'll notice, they did that with prayer and fasting. You know what prayer is? I think most of you know what fasting is. It means you stop eating. How many of us do that on a regular basis? That's something that we only do if there's something serious. So he's basically saying that we're selecting these men with prayer and fasting. That would indicate it's a very serious matter.
It
would indicate that if you choose the wrong men, that it could be very bad for the church. But if you select the right men, it could be very good for the church. Because that's the way God set up the church. In chapter 15 of Acts, We find that false teachers were troubling the church in Antioch of Syria.
Sibona ibandla liphathwa kabi abafundisi bamanga eAntioch yaseSyria.
They were teaching that the Gentiles had to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses.
Babefundisa ukuthi abezizwe kufanele basoke bagcine umthetho kaMose.
After much debate, the church sent Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem. This was back to the congregation that these men, that false teachers, had come from. And they were claiming that the apostles were teaching the same thing. So in verse 6, it says, the apostles and elders were gathered together to consider this matter. We don't have any apostles today, do we? So the elders now become the first stop of false teaching.
The
first line of defense. They need to be looking out for the congregation. They need to be watching out for people teaching things that are not true. That doesn't mean that each of you don't have that same responsibility. But an elder is to be one that is very well versed in the scriptures. And they're specifically tasked with looking after your souls. In Acts chapter
20,
Paul is on his way back to Jerusalem, and he stops off at the port of Miletus. And he calls the elders at Ephesus down, which is about a day's journey away. And they come down to him at Miletus. And he tells them that he's not going to see him anymore. And he gives them a warning. Verse 26 of chapter 20 says, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
Yeah, verse 26, we have got verse 32. I think you can just continue.
Can you continue? You got it. Okay. Elders basically are leaders. And leaders can infect or can affect everyone in the congregation.
But
Paul is warning them, saying that one of you, even, is going to lead people away. And here is an important role for the elders that they must watch. What's interesting is that every time we read about elders, we find it spoken of in the plural. There's always more than one. So if you have three elders, and one stands up and starts preaching something that's wrong,
Ebese kusukuma elinye lifundisa into ebonakala ukuthi hayibo ayikho ke manje lento.
The other two stand up and say, no, that's not right.
Bese lawa mabili asukuma cha 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 musukubheda futhi.
That false teacher is going to lead very few people away.
Uzo lowo kwebefundisa manga bancane kabi abantu azoba abazoba holelo part.
In God's wisdom, he has given us a way of ruling the church.
Ubuhlakani bukaNkulunkulu ke usinikeza indlela yokuthi ibandla liholeke ngali kanje.
With great wisdom.
Ngokuhlakani obukhulu.
The idea of shepherding the church.
Umqondo wokwalusa ibandla.
Introduced right here, he's calling them a flock amongst which they were to shepherd.
Usho khona la uthi umhlambi ubantu bengababonisi bokwalusa umhlambi.
They're also called overseers.
Babizwa futhi lana ngababonisi.
Both Paul and Peter describe the church as flocks and the elders as shepherds.
UPawuli noPetru bachaza amalunga njengabaholi noma njengababonisi bese kuthi ibandla njengomhlambi.
This should give us a better idea of what elders are to do.
Ibonake angasinikeza umqondo ongcono ukuthi amalunga kufanele enze njani.
We're going to talk much more about that idea later.
So khuluma ke kabanzi ngalokho mhlambi esikhathini esilandelayo.
Let's go to Timothy now.
Sambenze ek Timothy uke manje.
In 1 Timothy 5,
uTimothy uqalisa hloko sesihlanu.
I want to read from 17 through 20.
Uzofundwa ke kuverse 17 kuya ku 20.
Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching, for the scripture says, "You shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages." Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all so that the rest may stand in fear.
Yeah, verse 17 kuya ku verse 20.
We'll deal with other passages later, and Paul writes to Timothy as he discusses some of the qualifications, but not in depth.
Khona eminye imibhalo ezoyibheka uPawule ebhala uTimotheo noma singeze ukuyibheka ke ngokujulile.
Like you've had plenty of teaching, or at least will get plenty of teaching on the qualifications of elders.
Ngoba nisazothola phela ifundo mayelana nezimpawu zamalunga, mhlambe senayithola vele.
I want to concentrate on what elders are.
Mina ngizoxela nje kuthenina amalunga ayini.
And what their work is.
Nomsebenzi wawo uyini.
Here we find that Paul is dealing with elders and telling Timothy.
La sithola umphostoli Paul etshena uTimotheo ukuthi amalunga ayini nokuthi kufanele abhekane nani.
That some elders are worth double honor.
Uthi amanye amalunga kufanele atuswe ngokuphindiwe.
And by the next verse where it says you shall not muzzle an ox.
Bese ivese elilandela ukuthi ungayifaki isimponyo inkabi.
It's evident that he's talking about paying an elder.
Ukhulunywa ukuthi amalungu kufanele akhokhelwe.
And this would be if he was laboring in teaching and preaching.
Lokhu kuzokwenzeka uma esebenza ekufundiseni nasekushumayeleni.
Also shows that a preacher can also be an elder.
Kuyakhonjiswa futhi ukuthi umshumayele ngaba yilungu.
If he's qualified.
Uma enempawu efanele.
Let's turn to Titus.
Sambenze say with Tito.
In the first chapter in verse 5 it says, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remains in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you."
Verse 5 lo ofundwayo.
Here Paul is implying that a congregation without elders is not quite in order.
La umphostoli Paul ubeka ukuthi ibandla elingenawo amalunga alinakho ukuhleleka ukuqondile.
It's not quite complete.
Aliphelele.
And that the ideal situation for a congregation
indawo noma ke kumqondo omhle ngebandla
is to have elders rather than not.
Ukuthi libe namalunga ukunokuthi lingalinawo.
In James the 5th chapter in verse 16,
uJakobe 5 verse 16,
Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. We go back to
14.
Says, is any one of you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven.
Yes, so verse 14, we have 15.
14 and 15, right. And so we find that someone is to be called. It's the elders. Why would the elders be called? Verse 16, the very next verse there says that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Implying that the elders are to be righteous men. They're supposed to be the spiritual men. They're supposed to be the ones that lead. So can you see any shepherding in this passage? In the next lesson, we're going to talk about what really shepherding is. Peter also talks about elders. In 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through 4, so I exhort you, the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory.
Kungabi ngokucindezelwa kodwa ngokwentando kaNkulunkulu, kungabi ngenxa yenzuzo eyihlazo kodwa ngenhliziyo evumayo, kungabi njengabazenza amakhosi phezu kwamabandla enabela wona kodwa nibe izibonelo zomhlambi.
So we see that elders were appointed to this position.
Yabona ke amalunga uma ekhethelwa lesi sikhundla.
We're going to talk about it in a later lesson what that really means.
We see
the position of one of shepherding, overseeing, looking after and looking out for the congregation, and it's a congregation where they're members. It's not a congregation that's not there. I'm sure that you've heard of congregations that are being overseen by elders in another country. That's not what this passage says. It says that those that are in your charge, that are among you. So here we get a picture of one who does not lay down the law to the congregation. But one who reasons from the scriptures and uses wisdom as to what the group should do. And then leads that group by example. Peter also gives us one of the motivations for taking on the work of an elder. And that's the reward of the unfading crown of glory. Verse 4 says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory.
Kutokia kuti nxa ibonakalisa umalusi omkhulu niyabuzuza umqhele wenkazimulo ongaboniyo.
In Revelation, the fourth chapter, the throne scene is described. I don't know if you, how many of you have studied that chapter, but we see that God's throne is described.
And there's 24
elders that are described there.
And
they're taking off their crown. And they're casting it before God. I was one behind there. Revelation 4 and verse
10.
The 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created."
Yeah, you want to go ahead and read that? Okay. Go
ahead.
Verse 10, uthi ke amalunga ngamashumi amabili nane awa phansi phambi kwakhe ohlezi esihlalweni sobukhosi. Akhuleka kuye ophilayo kuze kube phakade naphakade aphonse imiqhele yawo phambi kwesihlalo sobukhosi ethi ufanele wena Nkosi yethu noNkulunkulu wethu ukwamukela inkazimulo nodumo namandla ngokuba nguwena owadala izinto zonke nangenxa yentando yakho zaba khona zadalwa.
Okay, this is a spiritual idea here. It's not literal what is described, I don't believe. But the elders were given crowns. And they understood that they owed everything to a holy and a righteous. A just and loving. A merciful and gracious. God who sacrificed his son. Allowed man to torture him so that he could satisfy the justice and pronounce all of us who have obedient faith in Jesus as justified and pure. And that would claim them, or that would cause them to not claim even those crowns of glory as their own, but dedicate them to the glory of their God. So now we have been introduced to elders. Let's take a look, closer look at what the scriptures tell us they are and do.
Sesi bonileke manje ukuthi sikhuluma ngamalunga. Ke sibonene kafishane ke ukuthi ithini imbhalo ngalabantu.
There's six words in the Greek. Actually, there's only three words in the Greek. There's six words total.
Mathatha amagama asesigreek kodwa ke ayisithupha uma ese imbandakanywe wonke.
That are used for the word elder. Poemen, which is pastor, or shepherd,
Episcopus,
which is bishop or overseer, and presbyterus, which is presbyter or elder. And I don't guarantee the correct pronunciation of those Greek words. But we know all six of these English words describe the same men because they overlap in the same verses. They're in Acts chapter 20 and verse 17. He says, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. In verse 28, he's talking to those elders and he says, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which is purchased with his own blood. So we have all three Greek words right there in the same passage. In 1 Peter 5, we have the same situation. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly.
Ngakho ngiyawancenga malunga phakathi kwenu mina engiyilunga kanye nawo nofakazo zihlupheko zikaKristu nomhlanganyelo wenkazimulo ezakwambulwa ngithi yalusani umhlambi kaNkulunkulu ophakathi kwenu kungabi ngokucindezelwa kodwa ngokwentando kaNkulunkulu kungabi ngenxa yenzuzo eyihlazo kodwa ngenhliziyo evumayo.
Where I come from in Alabama, it's very common
la vela khona-ke ke Alabama kujwayelekile
for a denomination to call their preacher a pastor.
Is
that common here?
Yes. Okay, so we.
Is that correct?
It's
not talking about the same person, is
it?
That's not talking about the preacher. The pastor is an elder. It can be the same person, but it's going to be an older man, married, with children that are believed, and other qualifications that indicate that he is qualified as an elder. An elder, of course, is going to be an older man. Episcopus, an overseer, a man charged with the duty of seeing that things to be done by others are done rightly, any curator, guardian, or superintendent.
And
the shepherd, we'll discuss the work of this one as the work of the elders. From this perspective in our next lesson.
Okay.
Let's turn our attention to deacons quickly. You'll soon see that the position and the work of a deacon is very different from that of an elder. The qualifications are similar. But we find that a deacon has to have children. But it doesn't say believing children. So usually it's a younger man. I'm convinced that the first mention of deacons is in Acts chapter 6.
The
problem showed up in the church. Let's discuss where that problem came from. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached and told them that Christ was crucified and raised again and that he was the Messiah. And they wanted to know what they should do because they had crucified the Messiah. And he told them to repent and be baptized. And it says over 3,000 were added to the church. How many of you would like to be the elder of a church of over 3,000?
Obanga abanye bena abafisa ukuthi babe amalunga a ebebhekelele ibandla elinabantu abawu 3,000.
Wow, what a responsibility.
Oh, umsebenzi.
Yeah. So the apostles were in the place of the elders. Later we find in chapter 3 when Peter and John go to the temple. Through the Holy Spirit, Peter raises up that lame man. And heals his legs and preaches. And it says that the number came to over 5,000
men.
The big congregation. In chapter 5, we find that those that had goods were selling those goods and bringing the price of the land and the goods to the apostles. And they were distributing them to whoever needed them. People had traveled from all over the world to come to Jerusalem. For the day of Pentecost. And I believe that many had stayed there once they had been converted. The older men had no problem getting jobs. But widows were another matter. So in chapter 6 we find that some were complaining that the Hellenist or the Grecian widows were being neglected. They were not being helped with the serving of food. A Grecian widow would have been someone that grew up outside of Jerusalem. But now retired or moved to Jerusalem. Or possibly was converted there and stayed. And passages in Acts talk of the church increasing, so the church would have been huge at this point. Okay, let's read Acts 6, the first few verses. It says, "Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.'"
Kwathi ngaleyo mehla abafundi sebanda kwavela ukukhonona kubajuda abakhuluma isigreki ngamahebheru ngokuthi abafele ukwazi bakubo bancishwe kwabelweni kwemihla ngemihla abayishumi nambili base bebiza ibandla labafundi bathi akukuhle ukuba thina sishiye izwi likankulunkulu sikhonze ematafuleni funani-ke phakathi kwenu bazalwana amadoda ayisikhombisa anodumo oluhle agcwele umoya nokuhlakanipha esingawamisela lowo msebenzi kepha thina siza kuqinisa ekhulekeni nasenkonzweni yezwi.
These men are not called deacons, but I believe they are.
La bantu ababizwa ngamadiakoni nakuba mina ngikholwa ukuthi bayiwo.
They were selected as servants of the church.
Babekhethiwe njengeyikhonzi zebandla.
To perform a specific job in order to allow the elders, or in this case the apostles, to concentrate on the spiritual needs of the congregation. These men were strong spiritual men. We find both Stephen and Philip did public preaching and teaching. But they were selected in order to take care of a physical duty.
That
needed to be handled by the church. We find that the entire church was to select these men.
Siyabona ukuthi ibandla longa kufanele ukuthi likhethe laba bantu.
And I believe that to be the case for the elders as well.
Ngikholwa ukuthi simesifana nayo namalunga ngokunjalo.
And so they did that and it satisfied the need of the congregation.
Bakwenza lokho bazanelise izidingo zebandla.
It pleased, it says that it pleased the whole congregation too.
Kutho lokho kwalithokozisa ibandla.
And so we have a growing church that ran into a problem.
Sinebandla elikhulayo selithola selisenkingeni.
That was taken care of.
Yaveli yanakekelwa inkingi.
By selecting deacons to handle it.
Ngokuthi kukhethwa amadiakoni ukuthi leyo nkinga ayibhekelele.
In Philippians 1 and verse 1 it says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons.
Philip 1 verse 1, Paul no Timoteo, izincwe zika Christu Jesu, kubo bonke abangcwele ku Christu Jesu, abase Philip kanye nababonisi nama diakoni.
If you remember the term overseer is another name for elder.
Uyakumbula igama lelithi ke ababonisi elinye igama lamalungu.
We also see that the deacons are different from the elders.
Amadiakoni siyathola ukuthi ahlukile kunamalungu.
And identified differently than the general saints. Okay, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 8, we find the qualifications listed for deacons. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well, for those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus.
Okunjalo namadiakoni kufanele abe nesizotha angabi indibimbili angabi ngabanaka kakhulu iwayini angahaheli inzuzo embe phethe imfihlakalo yokukholwa kunembezo mhlophe nalaba mabaqale bahlole andukuba babe ngamadiakoni uma bengasoleki ngokunjalo nabesifazane mababe nesizotha bangahlebi abazithibayo abathembekayo ezintweni zonke madiakoni mawabe ngamadoda amfazi munye abusa kahle abantwana babo nemizi yawo ngokuba madiakoni akhonze kahle azuzela ukuma kahle nesibindi esikhulu ekukholweni okukuKristu Jesu.
We're not going to dwell on the qualifications of deacons today.
Asizukuhlala ke empaweni zama diakoni namhlanje.
So this is it.
Yilokho nje kuphela sizokusho. Qedile.
Dignified, not double-tongued. That means honest and forthright. Not addicted to much wine. And not greedy. They must have a clear conscience. That means one who does the will of God. They have to be one that was tested, not one who just became a Christian. Or has done nothing previously to help the church. They must be married to a woman who is dignified. Not a slanderer. Same thing as a gossip. Okay. Sober-minded. That means they're serious about things that are important. And they must be faithful to her husband and God. Deacons must only have one wife. And must manage their home and their children. We also see here the implication that serving as deacons will develop their leadership skills and the confidence of the group toward them. In other words, it can help them in developing towards being an elder. So in conclusion, we find that each congregation should have elders. I'll say right now that if there's something worse than not having elders, it's having unqualified elders. We find that the elder is an office. It's also called shepherd, overseer. Presbytery, bishop, or pastor. That they are selected by the congregation and they are appointed to the office. And they are different from deacons. In Mark, the 6th chapter, says, and Jesus came, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd, so he began to teach them many things. We need shepherds. Thank you.